This episode of The Compendium is sponsored by Home & Brew, your source for handcrafted and exotic tabletop gaming gear. Welcome to The Compendium, a resource that's designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.
So with your action, which you get one of, there's a number of things you can use with as an action. The most obvious and common is you can attack, okay? And if you have something like the extra attack feature, like barbarians and fighters do, they can attack multiple times with their one action, okay? Now, another thing people can do is they could cast a spell. We talked about that. Now, there's some other ones that get increasingly lesser known or lesser used that you can use with an action. One of them is dash. Basically, you're saying, for my action, I'm going to choose to dash, which basically lets you move again. So you could move with your move action, and then you could take the dash action with your action and move again. Mm-hmm. So you could, but now you're out of things to do. You can't, you know, attack or anything unless you have something else clever that you want to do. So that's a great way to like chase someone down or get to a spot on the battlefield that you really critically need to be there right now. And there are some classes, by the way, like Rogue, that can do some of these as a bonus action instead, which is kind of fun. So Rogues at a certain level as a bonus action can take the dash action or the disengage action, which we'll talk about in a minute. So that's that. So now disengage, as promised, what that is that as an action, you can take the disengage action, and you moving away from an enemy doesn't provoke opportunity attacks for the rest of the turn. So what you could do there is you could realize, oh, this isn't going to go well at all. I need to get away from this guy. He's 10 feet tall and has four arms. What was I thinking? And so you could take the disengage as your action and then do your move action and move away. And you're being careful and cautious as you do that, so you can get away without getting slammed one more time when you have really low hit points. Another thing that you can do is dodge. Dodge is really cool because what it is instead of you attacking with your action, you're playing defensively. And so you are bobbing and weaving out of the way so that attacks against you are at disadvantage, right? And so you're choosing not to engage. It's almost like fighting like a Shaolin master or something, you know, where like you can't get a hit on them. And so that's what you're doing. So until the start of your next turn, any attack roll made against you has disadvantage as long as you can see the attacker. So if someone's hidden or invisible or behind you, maybe not so much, but this is a great way to kind of get through a particularly bad battle, especially if you realize that whatever you could have done attack-wise just isn't going to cut it. So mm-hmm. maybe staying alive is your best option there. And then you can take the help action. The help action is interesting because what it does is it lets you help someone else out with a completion of a task. So basically, when you take it, you pick one person to help, and they gain advantage on the next ability check or attack roll that they have against something. Okay, so this is one of the few things that actually you can do outside of combat as well, where you're not really counting actions. So outside mm-hmm. of combat, you could say, well, our rogue is trying to bluff his way into the king's quarters. I want to help DM. And they go, great, how do you help? Well, I'll tell him that I'm this man's doctor, and yes, his foot is broken, and he has desperate news from the front lines and needs to see the king right away. So you're choosing to help this one guy. And now he's going to roll his deception check with advantage. He's going to roll 2d20 and take the higher result. Now, in combat, typically it's going to be a help making an attack roll. And so this is you kind of trying to distract a creature or something, or a feint, or you dodge out of the way just as the barbarian swings his axe over your head to smack the guy. And so he's going to get advantage on his attack roll. And typically you have to do it within 5 feet of the person that you want to help. But once you've done it, you don't have to stay there. So you could rush in, ooga booga booga, and distract the monster, then run out, and they still have advantage on their next attack.
Okay.
Okay, so you don't have to stay there, but you do have to be within 5 feet in order to use it. Of course, as always, there are some exceptions to that rule with spells and class features and the like. And then, because this is a long list, so there's like three more. So there's the hide action as well. This is like when we're doing all the skills, right? So the hide action basically is something you can take with your action where you can make a stealth check and attempt to hide and not be seen by foes or opponents, right? So you can be like, this is Korthog. He cannot be seen. And so this lets you be able maybe to attack from a hidden position. So now the dodge action doesn't work as well. Or if you're a rogue or something, now they don't know you're there. So maybe now you can get sneak attack, that kind of thing. And some characters are better than others with that. Rangers, rogues, and halflings are typically pretty good at hiding because of special class features. But again, this is what you're doing with your action, not your move. So it's you foregoing combat typically or doing damage to do this to set up something for later.
Right. And sometimes, I mean, this should go kind of without saying, but sometimes that doesn't always work out because like dodge, you could say, well, I'm going to dodge when somebody tries to hit me, but nobody tries to hit you that turn. So you're not guaranteed that that action, it's kind of premeditated a little bit, but you don't know what other people are going to do. So you're welcome to do it. But if it's not triggered or if you don't get attacked or some of these things, you just kind of lost out on your turn by, you know, trying to make that strategic call.
Right. Exactly. It's the better safe than sorry mentality, which, you know, if you that or dying, you take that.
Yeah.
You also can take the search action, which usually is pretty ill-advised in the middle of combat, but you could do it. You're basically going to say, while everyone's fighting, on my turn for my action, I'm going to search and I'm going to try to find the secret switch that opens up the gate so we can get past these guys, or the pressure plate and reset it so that this chamber doesn't fill with water. You know, so there's some good reasons to do it. And so basically it's letting you make like a perception or investigation check to do that. Now, I will say that I know some people who have skill checks in their combat scenarios and they run them differently. This one is particularly for trying to find something. You're searching, right? You're doing investigation or perception. If someone wants to try a different kind of skill, like say Arcana, and I don't think that it's going to change the course of battle, but maybe identify that these guys are like the red-robed wizards of Thay or something, then I'll let them do that as a bonus action or a free action. If I think it's like, well, that could be good information for them to have. It's not really going to change the battle much, but go ahead, you can do that. So, but this one specifically is a kind of action that you can take. And then the last one is use an object. This goes back to what we were saying before, that if you find a lever that you want to pull, or you want to pull out a wand and start summoning something like that using an object that's not an attack, then you can do that by taking the use object action as well.
And that wouldn't, I mean, you just kind of clarified this, but the first thing I thought when you said use object was back to our episode about weapons, how we were talking about improvised weapons with like, you can grab the leg of a chair to bash somebody with. That is not this.
No. So I really pulling a lever or unlocking a lock, shutting a door and barring it. Those would be good options for that. But on a magical item, if it's a non-combat thing, like a lot of magic items will say, as an action, you can use this orb to talk to someone from a distance, infinite distance, as long as you're familiar with the person, that kind of thing. That would be, well, I'm going to use my action to activate my you know, scrying orb, you know, so those kinds of things. I don't see that one happen too much, but I think it happens without being called out as to what it really truly is a lot. And so they have it in here just so that it's covered when you do that.
Thanks for tuning into the Compendium this week. I hope that you enjoyed listening into Jason and I's conversation. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already done so, so that you're the first to know every time a new episode publishes. We push out content every Tuesday and Friday, unless you're a patron, in which case you get that content a day early. And if you want more information in between episodes, look us up on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can find us by searching for The Compendium, and that is C-O-M-P-E-N-D-M. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next time.